Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio, your intelligence briefing in the war for the free world. I'm Kyle Scheidler of the Center for Security Policy. I'm filling in today for Frank Gaffney, who is off on a much-deserved vacation. Joining me now is Marie Espinoza. She's the National Director of the Remembrance Project, which honors and remembers Americans and legal residents who have been killed by illegal aliens. Maria, thanks for coming on today.
Hello, Kyle. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show.
We're always glad to have you. Maria, I wanted to talk to you about this recent situation that's been in the news regarding the death of Edwin Jackson. He was a linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts, and he was killed when he and his Uber driver were struck by a drunk driving illegal alien. This is a story that made the news quite a bit because of, Edwin Jackson's fame as a football player. But this is a sort of story that, in reality, takes place across this country all the time. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, Kyle. And, you know, Edwin Jackson won't be the last. And Jeffrey Monroe, who was the Uber driver, was also killed, and he was 54 years old. You know, I'm sure he had a family to support, and just trying to make an extra buck being an Uber driver. But this is exactly what's taking place all across the United States, and that's why the Remembrance Project created the Stolen Lives Quilt banners in order to connect the dots for the American public, because the fake news, now we know, does not report it. But, you know, in 2009, when we started, we realized that this was an epidemic of killings of Americans by people who should not be here in the first place.
Maria Espinoza, do we have solid statistics on the number of Americans or legal residents who have been killed by illegal immigrants?
No solid statistics, Kyle, and that's very unfortunate because as Americans, we should be able to have that at our fingertips, and our government should give that and publicize those statistics. Last year, my husband, Tim Ling, and myself met with Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and that was the million-dollar question, you know, we've been asked for years. And he said it's impossible to obtain these statistics because the municipalities do not collaborate or cooperate with the federal government.
That's highly problematic. I mean, of course, when we think about the reality of this thing, is the federal government requires from the states and local governments all manner of crime statistics, and they put out large reports on the number of violent crimes and the number of murders, the number of hate crimes, for example, and they spend a great deal of effort collecting this information. So I feel like if there was the political will to do so, they could get decent information about this information. Do they really want to?
Right. They really don't want to, you know, and there are some information out there, but, you know, obviously the left rebuts it with something else. So we need to find out who is gathering information, who is not cooperating, and take those individuals to task. Now, these are elected officials who are obstructing the federal government in obtaining those statistics. And look, Kyle, we have Title 8, Section 1324, that we can go after, the DOJ can go after these elected officials who aid and abet illegal aliens, you know, having to do with sanctuary cities. You know, these sanctuary cities do not cooperate with the federal government. You know, we need to get those people out of the way. And I think that your listeners can help by writing and emailing to the Department of Justice demanding that these obstructors be prosecuted. And it's every right. It's right there. It's a law that we can, as a tool that American people can use.
I think that's a really good point. And it's a point that's been raised, I think, if I'm not mistaken, by the Trump administration's ICE director and others that have expressed increasing frustration with the role of the leaders of these sanctuary cities, and even in the cases, for example, California, of sanctuary states. Maria, I wanted to ask you on that topic, how has the Trump administration changed the way that this topic is discussed? We saw, obviously, President Trump tweet out a comment about the death of Edwin Jackson. He also, I think, very effectively used the State of the Union recently to highlight some of these stories as well. Have we seen a change? Have we turned the corner in the way that the administration talks about these issues?
Absolutely, Kyle. And the change is this. It's simply now being discussed, where it was swept under the rug. And you're right, in the State of Union address, you know, he addressed the families of Nisa Mickens and Kayla Cuevas, you know, who were brutally tortured and murdered, macheted, and all by the MS-13 gang members. So this is going around all across the United States. And just the fact that we are talking about this is huge. But now we have to have the public turn that corner where they actually want to do something about it. And I think that there's a groundswell of good Americans who want laws and don't want this nation to become a lawless nation, gather behind your elected officials and demand, you know, civilly and nicely but sternly, demand that they enforce existing laws. No amnesty, of course, and follow our U.S. Constitution and legislate for the betterment of Americans and our country. And it's quite simple, Kyle. But you obviously you have special interests, and you know we have voting bloc on this side and reelection campaign funds on the Republican establishment side, and it just seems like they're all eating out of the same trough. But we, the people, have that powerful vote, and we can force these individuals to legislate the way we want, or we have to kick them out. Unfortunately, some we have to wait a couple years to get them out of office, but I think we need to find a little loophole in there that we can use to get them out sooner if they're not doing their jobs, just like anyone else would be removed from their positions by their employer if they weren't doing the job that they were supposed to do.
Well, you know, you raise a really good point about education and the public. I mean, I remember seeing a comment in the news that after President Trump's State of the Union speech, the number of people Googling MS-13 shot up because they wanted to know more about it. They weren't being told about it, so they were seeking out the information after it was brought to their attention. I think that's a really good point. And, you know, as we discuss this education of lawmakers and holding them accountable, we really see a battle of the narratives. And we saw that on display earlier this week when Nancy Pelosi took to the floor of the House, you know, for 8 or 9 hours telling stories, and I emphasize the word stories, of dreamers, so-called. Where are our politicians, you know, on the Republican side, on the conservative side? They need to get up there as well, and they need to start telling stories of real Americans. And I think, you know, I think Maria Espinoza, you and the Remembrance Project can certainly help them do that if we can, you know, lash you up with some of the politicians that do want to tell these stories.
Well, we are connected, Kyle, and that's the sad part, is because they know we're here and we've reached out to them, and some of them simply won't speak to us for answer. This is a perfect example. I'm glad you mentioned this, because in a year and a half ago, four angel mothers and one family, angel family, went to Paul Ryan's home. This is heat of the summer, very hot. The mothers and family members were wearing their memorial shirts of their children or their loved one, and with their individual Stolen Lives quilt banner of their loved one. And we wanted just a few minutes to talk with Speaker Paul Ryan and to tell them their stories and just help him do a better job to represent Americans. And he absolutely refused. In fact, he jumped into his security detail Suburban, and both vehicles just sped away. I mean, he didn't even come out to give his condolences or say, "I'm so sorry for the loss of your son or your daughter." You know, this is what we have in our leadership, Kyle. So if people don't understand that by, you know, now, you know, it's very obvious that every single politician knows what is taking place, but yet they sit on their hands and they're unwilling to protect you, the American. This is where we are today. That's very disturbing and actually very dangerous for our country.
Well said, Maria, and it reminds me of President Reagan saying that if you can't make your elected officials see the light, then make them feel the heat. So we appreciate all that you are doing to make them feel the heat on this very important issue. Maria, thank you very much. We will be right back with our next guest here on Secure Freedom Radio.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.